Morning, church family. And it's good to be with you today. Hey, if you got your Bibles, you want to turn over to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, as you know, we've been in a series all summer long. We've been calling 10 and just talking about the 10 commandments in a series. It's just this concept, this idea of being set free to live free. And so we're going to continue on with that. And so as you're turning in your Bibles and as you're grabbing your outline, just want to ask a quick question. How many of you love taking a day off? Nice, right? Yeah. You're going to be glad you're here today because we're going to be looking at what the Bible has to say about taking a day off. And taking a day off each and every week is actually commanded in the Bible. It's the fourth of the Ten Commandments. You're probably familiar with this, to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. And so as a result of this commandment, the concept of observing the Sabbath became one of the centerpieces of God's Old Testament covenant. And for thousands of years, the ancient Israelites were absolutely devoted to honoring this the Sabbath. I mean, it was the cornerstone of their week. Everything evolved around it. I mean, their daily routines, their worship habits, even their comment or all their commerce, it all orbited around this thing of the Sabbath. So today, not so much, right? I mean, wow, how things have changed. Remember the good old days when pretty much everything was closed on Sundays? Anybody remember this? And even those that, you know, even the places of business that were operational didn't open their doors until at least noon or 1 o'clock, right? And man, for the longest time, convenience stores and gas stations and the like, they refrained from selling alcohol. You may remember that. I don't know. That may have been a law. I'm not sure. All I remember is going into the carryout on Sundays and they had like bed sheets, covering up the alcohol. I thought that was kind of funny. Even farmers got into the act by adhering to the adage of work on Sunday, what, fix on Monday, right? And scheduling a kid's ball game on a Sunday, man, it was unheard of. I mean, it was, you know, utterly unimaginable. I remember back when I was playing high school ball, football, and my junior and senior year in particular, we would always have a mandatory practice on the morning after games. And it was at 9 a.m. It was mandatory, had to show up, and it was a lot of running and stretching, and then we'd review the game films from the night before. And that was all fine and dandy until we played Newark Catholic. Because remember, on Newark Catholic, we played them on what night? Not Friday night, but what? But Saturday. Which then meant what? That mandatory practice fell on what day? On Sunday. And that did not go well. I mean, that did not go well with some people. And so ultimately what happened was that our football coach ultimately had to back off of the mandatory aspect of that Sunday morning practice and game film session. You know, today it seems like most parents would be more inclined to try to get churches to better schedule their services, the kids' ball schedules and the like. I mean, just keeping it real, right? Hey, of all the Ten Commandments, this one I think is the one that raises the most questions. A lot of stuff circulating around this one. I mean, what day of the week is the Sabbath? Is it Saturday? Or is it Sunday? Are we still required to observe the Sabbath, being that we're now under the new covenant? And if we are required to refrain from working on the Sabbath, what constitutes work? I mean, is it okay for me to mow my yard? Is it okay for me to shovel my driveway? If your place of employment implements mandatory weekend shifts, is it okay for me to show up for work? Or what if I'm an EMS technician and I happen upon a serious accident? Am I just to venture over to the injured victim and say something, boy, you sure picked the wrong day of the week to have an accident, right? I mean, how does this all play out? There's a lot of question, a lot of confusion, a lot of controversy, you know, that just kind of swirls around this fourth commandment. And I'll do my best this morning to, you know, to kind of unpackage this in a way that makes sense to us. However, before we jump in, I know what some of you are thinking. I mean, I look across the audience, a lot of gray hair, a lot of bald heads, right? And you're thinking, well, Doug, I'm retired, right? And for me, every day is like Saturday or Sunday, right? I mean, so how is this going to relate to me? Well, if that describes you, you can use these next few minutes to take a nap, okay? As a lot of you do anyway, right? You just keep your normal routine, right? You'll still get credit for showing up, okay? You're going to get it. You're going to get your gold star, right? Now, I'm pretty certain that that a lot of this is going to apply to you. So you may want to just still grab your outline, okay? And you may want to follow along a little bit. This passage comes to us out of Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. And it just simply says this: remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, and on it you shall not do any work. Neither you, your son or daughter, your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that was in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he made it holy. Now, if you're reading this from your Bibles, and I hope you are, you'll notice that this one is the longest of the Ten Commandments. I mean, some of these commandments are only 4 words in length. This one is more than 100. So there's a lot going on here, okay? He begins by informing us that we are to what? We are to remember the Sabbath. Now, this isn't your run-of-the-mill, hey, honey, don't forget tomorrow, Sunday kind of remember, right? No, this is much more akin to remember the Alamo kind of remember, okay? To remember the Sabbath day means to get this, to bring something forward that is from the past so that it maintains its relevance in the present and on into the future. So you see, it's not just a mental remembrance that he's talking about here, but rather it's celebrating and modeling that which has gone before us so that it will live long on into the future. So that's what he's talking about here when he says to remember the Sabbath. So we're to remember what? We're to remember the Sabbath day. Well, what is that? Well, the Sabbath day simply means a cessation from work. That's all it means. It just means a cease from working. Therefore, he's speaking about here a day of rest. Today, we'd refer to it as a day off. I mean, that's all this is really talking about. It's about taking a day off once every 7 days. And then he goes on to say here, how are we to remember it? He says that we are to keep it holy. To keep it holy. This holiness that he's talking about here is really important. And it's really a big deal, and it's key to understanding the gist of this commandment. So let's talk for a minute about this concept of holiness, okay? Holiness is an important concept throughout the Bible. I mean, you think about it, perhaps the greatest attribute ascribed unto the Lord is that he is what? He is holy, right? Now, by stating that God is holy simply means this: that he's unique, he's completely other, that he is different from us. He is sinless, we are sinful, right? We are created, right? He is eternal. I mean, it's just as Jeremiah stated in Jeremiah 10:6, there is none like you, O Lord. You are great and your name is mighty in power. So here's the big idea, okay? The concept of remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy is that 6 days per week we work. Okay, so I think we can all agree that every workday is pretty much the same old, right? We get up, we get gussied up, and we show up, right? Day after day after day for 6 days. But then on the seventh day, things are different, right? The seventh day is unique in that most of us, we don't get up, right? At least not as early as we do on the workday. And we certainly do not get gussied up, right? I mean, how many of you ladies on Saturday morning or Sunday morning, you spring out of bed first thing, you know, get your curling iron out, get your makeup on? Anybody? I didn't think so. It's different, right? It's a different day. And so we don't get up, we don't get gussied up, and we certainly don't show up, right? It's different. It's unique. That's what it means to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. By keeping the Sabbath day holy simply means that it's to be different from all the other days in that we do not labor. That's all it's saying. It's set apart that we do not work. That's what this commandment is calling for. So, how do you know? How do you know if you are or are not remembering the Sabbath? Well, it's really pretty simple. If over and over, all 7 days of your week, you know, keep looking the same by being filled with work, you're in violation of the commandment. It's really just that simple. God is just simply commanding that one day a week, the Sabbath day, is to be different from all the others. And the way that it is to differ is that there's to be no career sort of work being done on it. That's all it means. So are we tracking? It's really pretty simple. Okay? He goes on in verses 9 and 10 and he says this, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. Now, just as I mentioned last Sunday, most all of these commandments are really kind of a two-sided coin. Remember, there's the command and then there's kind of the rest of it. Well, this one is no different, okay? Most people read this fourth commandment and they will reason this, well, this is a commandment about the Sabbath day, and how all good Christians are to be catching up on their rest. But what I want you to catch is that, yes, it's a commandment about a Sabbath day's rest. However, it's also a commandment about work, isn't it? Notice embedded within this text, there's that phrase, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. So the inference, okay, the inference here is that we're not to be slothful, right? But we're to be working. We're to be productive with our lives, that we're meeting our personal needs and those of our families. I mean, it's, you know, and the New Testament backs this up. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, he said this, make it your ambition, okay, to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and get this, work with your hands. It says, just as you were told. There was apparently in Thessalonica an issue with the Christians, these earliest followers of Jesus, having a difficult time remembering that, hey, it was upon them to be earning a living and taking care of their needs and those of their family. In fact, a little earlier in the book of 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, he'll go on to say, hey, if you don't work, you don't eat. It's just that simple, right? So the New Testament fortifies and backs up what this commandment is saying. You know, that we are to, you know, to be busy about, you know, about our work and be working with our hands just as we're told. Now, I think a lot of our government officials skipped the day that this verse was taught in Sunday school, okay? But I think I'll just leave it right there. Here's the flip side, okay? Here's the flip side to remembering the Sabbath. If over and over, all 7 days of your week look the same, I mean, if you find yourself rolling out the crack of lunch every day and all you see is the same, you know, video game, Facebook feed, or television show day in and day out, friends, that's a whole different issue, right? That's a whole different sermon as well. And we're going to get to that one right on Labor Day weekend. We're just going to do a quick two-week quick hit series come around Labor Day that we're going to be calling By the Sweat of Your Brow. We'll be talking about the value of work. So this isn't just a commandment about rest. It's a commandment about work as well. I mean, if you read this commandment, work is the assumption, isn't it? I mean, the command just assumes that people are working to meet their personal needs and those of their families. All this commandment is telling us is that we're not to worship our work, but that we're to set aside a day and not be working. Just as the Lord modeled when He created the universe, which is what He says in verse 11. Exodus 20 verse 11 says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and then He rested on the seventh day. All that means is that He ceased from working on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and He made it holy. Okay, in other words, it was different than the other 6 days. But I really love what's sandwiched in between these verses. Look at the second half of verse 10. He says, on it, talking about the Sabbath, on it you shall not do any work, neither you, right? So that's who he's talking to, you, nor, he says, your son or daughter, your male or female servant, your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. Now this to me is a little bit funny. I catch this to be a bit funny because it tells me that God knows us well and how we're inclined to always be looking for an angle, right? We're always looking for a way to hedge, on these commandments. And He knows how we think. You know, this commandment, infers that I'm not to sin by laboring on the Sabbath. But what's to stop me from getting other people to do my work for me? Right? Isn't that where he's going? Then they would be the ones sinning. Always looking for the angle. I listened to a lot of different guys preaching and stuff, and I listened to a lot of sermons, you know, about the Ten Commandments and stuff, and I heard one preacher tell about visiting Israel, someplace I really hope to get to one day. It's on my bucket list. They're still over in Israel. They're still pretty intense about the Sabbath and not working on it, and the Sabbath over there is on a Saturday, so he says on Saturday everything's closed. They were staying in kind of a high-rise hotel at the time, and they were out and about one morning. They came home a little before lunch, and he said there was this massive line at the elevator bank that went all the way down the hallway, clear around the corner, and down this other hallway, and he said they had like a bank of four elevators, and on top of the one to the furthest to the left, it said Sabbath Elevator. And so they were all lined up to go on the Sabbath. You know what the difference was between the Sabbath elevator and the other three? The Sabbath elevator was programmed to stop at every floor, all the way up, all the way down. Why? Because it was sinful to work on the Sabbath. It was sinful to reach out and to push a button. Okay? And so the preacher said, so what I did was, hey, I'm under the new covenant. So he just got over and he ran over and grabbed one of the other elevators. And he said, I no more than got myself and my family into the elevator. And here came a bunch of people out of the line, ran into his elevator and said, do you mind pushing floor number 7? Do you mind pushing floor number 4? In other words, you're a pagan, you're headed for hell. You know, hey, while you're on your way, you might as well help me out a little bit, right? That's what he's talking about right here. He says, no. Not only are you not to be working, right? But neither your son nor your daughter. You know, not your male, your female servant, not any of your animals, your beasts of burden, and not even foreigners, you know, residing in your towns. See, as a safeguard against this sort of distasteful behavior, the Lord adds this caveat in the second half of verse 10. That's where he's going. So we get the point, right? No one is to be working on the Sabbath. Now, this raises a really good question. Well, just what day is the Sabbath, right? Is it Saturday? Or is it Sunday? Right? Or is it both, right? You know, which is it? You know, all this leads to this great question. If you ever wondered that, which is it? This commandment indicates that the Sabbath day is to be kept holy by not working. Verse 11 offers the rationale. It says this, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that was in them, and then he rested on the seventh day. Okay, now this harkens back to Genesis chapter 2. It harkens back to creation where it says that the Lord, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Now question, what day is the seventh day of the week? Anybody? Saturday, right? According to the Jewish calendar, the seventh day of the week is Saturday. The first day of the week is Sunday, right? So for thousands of years, you know, from sundown Friday until Sunday, Saturday, all devout Jews ceased from working and they worshiped their God on what day? Saturday. What day is today? Sunday. Why are we gathered here on Sunday? I mean, shouldn't we have been here yesterday? Right? Have we gotten this all wrong? I mean, do any of you have any Orthodox Jewish friends or maybe some Seventh-day Adventist friends or co-workers? They'll tell you that we should have been here yesterday. They'll go as far as to tell you that we're sinning, right, for setting this day apart and worshiping on Sunday as opposed to Saturday. And they'll use this Genesis chapter 2 passage to basically defend their position. But here's the thing. Everything changed when Jesus showed up. It all changed when Jesus showed up, not just with the Sabbath, but with everything. And Jesus burst onto the scene after thousands of years of God's people observing the Sabbath on Saturday, and he adhered to the Sabbath, right? I mean, he did, but albeit he didn't obey the arduous list of man-made rules that the religious leaders affixed to this commandment. And so this created a bunch of conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders. In fact, if you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see most of all the dust-ups that happened between Jesus and the religious leaders was because Jesus was doing things on the Sabbath. He was healing people on the Sabbath, right? He was teaching on the Sabbath. He was doing things on Saturday, and in their mind, that was work. Therefore, he was in violation of the law of Moses. Created a ton of conflict, okay? Jesus was subsequently subsequently crucified. He was buried on a Friday, and he rose again on what day? The first day of the week. Sunday, right? Therefore, Sunday became a very special day to the early Christians. In fact, the Apostle John referred to it as the day of the Lord in the book of Revelation. And according to Acts chapter 20, verse 7, the early Christian church started meeting not on Saturday, but what? But on the first day of the week, on Sunday. Why? To celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, to break bread on that first day of the week and to worship. And so therefore, following their lead, we do the same. For us, the Sabbath day is Sunday. And this is because we don't concern ourselves so much with when we worship, but rather it's who we worship that really matters, right? It's not so much, you know, because of the new covenant, we'll talk about this in a second, it's not so much, you know, about when we worship, but who we worship that matters. Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, was buried, rose again on the first day of the week, conquering sin and death and setting us free. And so therefore, we worship Him and we set this day aside as our Sabbath, the first day of the week. The New Testament backs this up as well. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul had this to say to the early Christian church, "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day." He says, why? Because these are a shadow of the things come. The reality, however, he says, is found in Christ. So it's not so much, you know, when we worship, it's who we worship that matters and sets the calendar, okay? It sets the Sabbath day for us. So here's a little sidebar for you. Have you ever wondered why it is we have a weekend? The command is you work 6 days, take one, right? You take the seventh day as a day of rest, right? Have you ever wondered why it is that we have a weekend? Why do we work five and get two off? Anybody? Here's why. Because when America was settled, it was settled primarily by Christians and Puritans, right? And so they came over. What was their Sabbath day? When did they worship the Lord? Sunday. And so for the first, you know, several decades as a country, you know, we worshiped and set aside Sunday as almost like the national Sabbath. It was just sort of the unstated, this, you know, you work six, you take this day off, first day of the week, and we go and we worship and be with our families and whatnot. It wasn't until some of the Orthodox Jewish families began migrating to the United States, many of them landed over in the New England area, right? And they started settling and began to increase in population. Well, they were pretty ardent about Saturday being the Sabbath, right? And so they were having a difficult time because their bosses were saying, no, you need to be here working on Saturday. Our Sabbath is Sunday. And it created such a conflict that it ultimately the government got involved and said, okay, here's how we're going to work this out. We'll just give you both Saturday and Sunday off. That's a true story. That's why we get a weekend. So we benefited, right? We benefited. At least some of you did. But we benefited, you know, benefited from that. Here's my recommendation. The command says we work 6 days, you know, worship one or take one day as a day of rest. Here's my recommendation. Monday through Friday, you know, I'd say do your work. Use Saturday as your day of rest and recreation and then worship and serve the Lord on Sunday. You know, I know a lot of our people, you know, we have a tremendous volunteer staff here that make our Sundays work. You know, we've got a wonderful group of people down right now downstairs, you know, teaching, leading our children. You know, that really isn't Sabbath day's rest, right? They're using that to serve the Lord. So the next question then on your outlines is this: is the Sabbath binding on Christians? You know, are we as Christians, are we obligated to follow the command? Good question. It's a fair question. So here's the debate surrounding this question. There are 10 commandments, okay? 9 of them are mentioned expressly and reinforced by the teachings of Jesus and the New Testament. However, there's one curious omission. Any guesses? It's this fourth commandment. It's the one concerning the Sabbath. I mean, the concept of observing the Sabbath isn't taught nor commanded in the New Testament. So is it still binding or not? That's the good question. And the answer, I believe, is this. It's not binding on us to the extent that it was for those living under the Old Covenant. I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul taught in Romans chapter 14. Of course, he's partnered with the Holy Spirit in writing this. Romans 14, verse 5, it says this: one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. He says, whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Now, here's what he's saying. It's the same age-old argument that we hit here in America. Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? And what he's saying is this: Saturday, that's fine. Sunday, that's fine as well. I mean, some people's work schedules, you know, work schedules where they don't get every Sunday off, right? Again, the EMT professional. What do we tell our nurses and our doctors? What do we tell them, right? You know, boy, sorry you're sick today. I wish I could come alongside and help you. No, there are some people whose schedules, you know, they just don't fit out where they get every Sunday off. For me personally, you know, my Sabbath is neither Saturday nor Sunday. I work very diligently. If Sunday were my Sabbath, I would not be here preaching. Let me just put it that way, okay? Let me just say that, right? You know, it's neither Saturday nor Sunday. I work very diligently, you know, Saturdays and Sunday. My Sabbath is Mondays. Most of you dread Monday morning. There's a lot of weeks I live for Monday morning, right? Because that's my Sabbath day. I mean, and I do a pretty good job of protecting that and guarding over that, you know, with my phone and the like, okay? What this Romans passage is teaching is that it's more about who we worship than when we worship. It's more important that we get a day off, right, than it is to argue which day that should be. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 5. He said, don't think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but rather, he said, I have come to fulfill them. So he's saying there's a transition. There was an old covenant. I have come and I fulfilled the old covenant, and now we are living under this, the new covenant. And I think with the law being fulfilled in Christ and the 9 of the 10 commandments still in force today, I believe this fourth commandment of remembering the Sabbath is one that shifts from the category of law more to the category of wisdom. So I'm not telling you that you have to take a day off and not to do so is sinful. However, what I am telling you is this: if you don't take a set day off, you're only hurting yourself, okay? You're only hurting yourself. Remember the context of these Ten Commandments. The children of Israel had been summoned to the base of Mount Sinai by their heavenly Father. Remember, they had just been liberated from where? From Egyptian bondage. And while in Egyptian bondage, they were forced to labor day after day, week after week, month after month, without any days off. And so the Lord comes and He liberates them from that. He sets them free. However, because they were still in that pattern, they were not living free. So ultimately what happens is the Father sits them down and He essentially says this: you know how much I love you. I did not design you to keep your nose to the grindstone 24/7, 365. You need to take a day off every once in a while to rest your bodies and your minds. And friends, there's great wisdom in this, right? There's great wisdom in that. Well, then how should I be using my Sabbath? I think this is ultimately where this all leads this morning. How should then I be using my Sabbath, whether it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, whatever day it is that works out best for you? Number one, I would say this: use the day to rest your body. Use the day to rest your body. Remember the word Sabbath. It simply means to rest. The commandment states, 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. And the word for work here literally means to, it's talking more about occupational work. It's talking about occupational labor. It's your job. Okay, is what the word literally means. So the command is that we're to take a break from what we do for a living. One day a week, we're to turn off the computer. One day a week, we're to park the tractor. One day a week, we're to, you know, to leave the briefcase at the office. One day a week, we're to experience a total change of pace where we rest our bodies. David the psalmist said in 127 verse 2, "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." I love this verse. The Living Bible, I think, rightly paraphrases it. God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. Man, one of the best things you can do on your Sabbath is simply go home and take a nap. It's right there, right? It's one of the most godly things you can do on your Sabbath is to rest your body. And here's why that is. Because you know, right, that you know that there's a price, isn't there? There's a price to continually violating this commandment. You know this, right? Nestled within the lines of the 23rd Psalm is this phrase, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." How many are familiar with that passage, right? We all know that. We've all quoted that. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures" is probably how you remembered that or memorized that as a kid. Let me ask you, has God ever had to make you lie down? Anybody? Yeah. Take a few days off, right? I've discovered that workaholics who never take a day off eventually are forced to make it up by spending a few days sick in bed or a week or two in the hospital. You're going to have to take a Sabbath day's rest, whether you like it or not, and you can either take it now and enjoy it, or, believe me, it'll catch up with you. It'll catch up with you, and your body is going to break down. We were not designed by our Creator, you know, to work 24/7, 365. We were not designed that way. So he really gives us this commandment, right, as great wisdom. And he does it for our good and for our benefit. It'll catch up with us. So use your Sabbath to rest your body. Number two, I'd say use your Sabbath, use the day to recharge your emotions. Use the day to recharge your emotions. A lot of you have stressful jobs. I mean, it saddens me that not all of you can work in a stress-free environment as a pastor like me, you know? Just saying, right? Some of your jobs really put you under a lot of stress. And you know how that adds up, right? It can add up and kind of create all kinds of issues. And that stress, when it adds up, with each passing business day, what happens is ultimately it begins to drain us emotionally. Therefore, we need to take a periodic break from the action, right? We all need a day to recharge our emotions, right? To let things stop, right? And just allow our minds to rest and to take a break from all of that. So use your Sabbath to rest your body, use it to recharge your emotions. And then I would say also then we also need to use that. Let me talk about this. I'm getting ahead of myself in my outline. How do I recharge my emotions? I'll give you three things there, right? Letter A, I'd say this. But just being quiet. If you want to recharge your emotions, just be quiet. Be still, right? So much of our work week is just, it's like run at a frantic pace. I mean, it's rushing here, it's rushing there, it's taking phone call after phone call, it's one thing after another. All this rushing around can wear us down emotionally. And if this in any way describes your work week, I suggest that you use at least a portion of your Sabbath day to get still. To just get still. Psalm 46:10 says this, "Be still and know that I am God." That word that he uses there in the Hebrew is this. It means cease striving. And we don't do good at this, do we? I mean, it's tough for some of us just to take an hour and just to sit. I mean, there are some Monday mornings, you know, I still have a tendency to get up a little early and I'll get up and if Terry happens to be off on that day as well, I'll just be out in the living room sitting in a chair and she'll come out and she'll say, "Well, what are you doing?" I said, "Nothing." "Well, what are you thinking about?" "Nothing." You know, there's just some times you just gotta sit, meditate, just allow your minds to rest, just to stop, to cease striving, and know that he is God. Psalm 23, verse 2 says, "The Lord leads me beside still waters." It says he refreshes my soul. Man, on your Sabbath day, just allow him to do that. Just allow him to lead you beside those still waters and allow him the time and the space to refresh your soul. Letter B, I'd say, is this. Another way that we can recharge our minds is by being with family. And some of you say, well, Doug, I thought this was about relieving my stress. My family stresses me out. That's my problem, right? No. But being with family, Ecclesiastes 9:9, I love this verse. It simply says this, and he's talking to guys here. He says, enjoy life with your wife whom you love. I'll tell you, one of my absolute favorite things to do on my Sabbath is to simply get with Terry, head over to Easton, hold her hand, and just window shop. Seriously, just spend a day, you know, walking hand in hand in a beautiful spot like that. And do you know why that is? It's because my relationship with Terry gives life back to me. Okay, it gives life back to me. So much of our work week is spent pouring our lives into others, isn't it? I mean, those of you that are in the service industry, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So much of our lives is just pouring ourselves out, pouring out, you know, our love, pouring out our concern, our devotion onto other people. And have you discovered yet that there's not an endless supply of love and concern to be pouring out onto people? Have you noticed this? Absolutely. Our emotional well can run dry if we let it. And so you need to set aside some time and get with the people that are pouring life back into you. Okay, so important. So important to do and to catch. And in this letter C, I'd say here's another way to recharge in our emotions is that's by being with other Christians. Hebrews 10:25 says this, let us not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another, right? I mean, I love a good campfire, you know, and I love to, you know, to sit around that and just to kind of let your mind wander. But if you ever wonder when it pops and this big coal pops out of the fire and it lands onto the ground about maybe a foot or two from the fire, what happens to that coal? It loses its glow, doesn't it? You know, it loses its glow. You know, we've got to be in proximity with other people. This is my greatest concern with virtual church. You know, people say, boy, Doug, we're so far behind the curve, you know, on, you know, all these other churches have done so well about, you know, upping their game on virtual church, and they've invested thousands of dollars in cameras, and they've really made it slick. I'm not of that bent, and I'll tell you why. It's because of this passage right here. He says, let us not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another. I'll tell you, watching this in your living room around your dining room table is not the same. You're like that ember, that coal that's been popped from the fire, right? And it's difficult. You won't make it very long in the Christian life in isolation. We need each other. The scripture says here that we're created to be in community with one another. You need to be in community with other Christians, and you need to make yourself available so that other Christians can be in community with you. That's how God designed the church. We are a body, right? We're a body, and we need to be together on a consistent basis, if for no other reason than to be encouraged. Because it's very easy, is it not, in our world today, and it's getting easier all the time, to become very discouraged, right? I'll tell you, we're taking a beating right now in the media, aren't we, as Christians? Right? With all the Roe v. Wade stuff and all these other things that have been coming down, we're taking a bit of a beating in our culture. I've been confronted two times just in the last 2 or 3 weeks, you know, about being a pastor in a church. And how can you make that kind of a stand, you know? And we're taking a beating. And so it's important that we're together so that we're here to encourage each other, because there's so much in the world that's discouraging to us right now. And then number three, let's end with this. How am I to use my Sabbath? Well, I would say also you need to use the day to refocus your spirit. Refocus your spirit. Our top priority on the Sabbath should be to worship the Lord. Our priority should be to give the first part of the first day of every week unto the Lord, to make it holy, to make it different, right, than the rest of the week. Psalm 22, verse 1. I love this text. You know, David, the psalmist, says, man, I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. He made it his priority. There was something special about being here in his presence. I love everything about aviation. I mean, I wanted all my life to be a fighter pilot. I watch a lot of different, I don't know, blogs, you know, all kind of crazy stuff about, you know, about aviation and flight and that kind of stuff. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but on airliners, you know, the pilots, they go through the pilot and the first officer, they go through, you know, a whole checklist, you know, of pre-flight things. And one of the last things they do during that pre-check is they recalibrate the altimeter. That's important, right? You know, because that way they know how high they are, you know. And if there's a mountain out there that's 8,000 feet, I certainly want to make sure the pilot's at least 8,500 feet, right? It's going to turn out to be a bad day, right? A very bad day. And so they recalibrate the altimeter to make sure that it's accurate and to make sure that they don't fly themselves into the side of a mountain. And, you know, that's kind of what happens here. It's kind of what happens when we come together. Sunday is predominantly a day of worship. It's a day to tune into God. I mean, it's a day to clarify our values. It's a day to get our focus back in order and determine what really matters in life. This is an opportunity for us to recalibrate our lives, right? There is great, great benefit to this. I don't know about you or not, but I need a weekly reminder that God is God and I am not, right? I need a weekly reminder that God is the supplier of my every need and I am not. I need a weekly reminder that God, that everything, every good and perfect thing in my life is a gift from God straight out of heaven. I need a weekly reminder that God is firmly entrenched on His throne and there is no power on this earth that can dethrone Him. I need a weekly reminder that God is for me and never against me, and that there is nothing, nothing that can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I need a weekly reminder that there is no condemnation, right, for those who are in Christ Jesus. And where do you get that weekly reminder? It's here. It's here. It's in the presence of our like, you know, Christians of like faith, and it's in the presence of this enthroned God, right, who sits in majesty and glory. And I just need to come in this place and to see Him high and lifted up and to be in His presence and to know that this world is not off course, right? That my life is not out of control, but rather it's exactly where God purposed it. Right, you know, people say, well, I don't know what in the world is becoming of our nation. I'll tell you what's becoming of our nation. I'll tell you what's becoming of our world. It's becoming exactly what God purposed it from the beginning. We do not have the power, right? We do not have the power. Evil does not have the power to deflect. It does not have the power to knock off course that which God has created, that which God has purposed, right? And that's true in our globe, it's true in our country, it's true in your life. And I need this weekly reminder. I need this weekly recalibration, right? And that's what this is about. That's what Sabbath is really all about. Let's pray. Father, thank you for just being a God who loved us so very much that you gave us these commandments to act as guardrails. God, you have set us free from the bondage of sin. And there's a lot of times, Lord, we're not living as though we're free. And so I'm grateful for these laws. I'm grateful for these Ten Commandments, Lord, to bring us back in, to rein us back in, into your purpose, into your will. And Lord, that we can just enjoy this incredible life that you've laid out for us. And God, I know I'm speaking today to some very hassled people. And man, there's a lot going on in a lot of our lives. And Lord, we just find comfort. We find our assurance that you are a God who loves us. You're always leaning in toward us. There's nothing that can separate us from your love. God, there is no condemnation for those of us who have surrendered our lives to you and have been baptized into a relationship with you, but that your Son, Jesus Christ, took care of our sin problem. And so, Father, it's my prayer that we'll lean into that, that we'll always remember that, and we'll not allow the enemy to discourage us, to beat us down, to make us weary, to burden us. But that, Father, we would take you at your word, as Jesus said,
to come, you know, to come unto you, and that we would just find our rest in you, because your burden is light and your truth, and we're grateful for that. Thank you so much for this wonderful Sabbath that you've given us. That, Lord, we don't need to feel guilty to take a break, to take a day off, and just to bask in your presence, to surround ourselves with loved ones and family, and a church family. We're grateful for that in Jesus' name. Amen.